Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the podcast today. It is Wednesday, February the 10th, and my name is Joanne. Glad to have you with me for a little bit. Didn't do a podcast yesterday because the radio program yesterday had to do with Jesus and salvation and coming to Him. And I know that many of you are so saved, couldn't keep you out of heaven if they tried. I mean, they could not beat you off with a stick. You guys are all in the kingdom of God. You are seeking Him with your whole heart. You're passionate about your love for the Lord. And I believe that's why you're here. Okay. So today, woke up with just this happy memory of something that the Lord showed me a few years ago. And He was saying to me, Joanne, there is more right with you than there is wrong with you. Because I know sometimes we can get really focused on what's wrong with us or what's wrong with others or what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with the church, what's wrong with the government. And pretty soon we have just totally come into this negative, fault-finding, critical mindset. And as I said, it can be about us feeling like God is doing that with us, or people feel that way about us, and God just wants to break those chains, smash them off today. And He wants me to talk about what is right with us through Jesus Christ. So that's where we're headed today. Over the weekend, my husband talked to someone who just made a little comment implying that something was wrong with him, my husband. And it just got under his skin so bad. And, you know, he came home and he shared that with me, and I could see it for what it was. It's like, okay, that was just a dart of the enemy that got through John's armor. And, you know, we've got to pull these darts out of each other. But what happened over the weekend? Oh my gosh. It was like, I started finding fault with everyone and everything. And finally, after a day of this, I'm like, what is going on with this? I mean, where is this coming from? And I remembered this comment that was, you know, made about my husband. I'm like, oh, Lord God, we've got to do some warfare and break that off. And so I just started speaking blessing over the ones that I had found fault with. I started speaking blessing over situations that I was unhappy with. You know, we have to know, like the scripture says, the God of this age has blinded their minds. That's a little g. There is a God of this world. There is a God of this age. And we don't partner with His mindset. We don't partner with the world's thinking. So the podcast today is to make a distinction between the God of this age and our God. And sometimes just the sword of the Spirit needs to come and wiggle its way into these intricate areas of our thinking so that we can just stay in the right position, the right alignment with God and how He sees us. And it'll affect how we see each other. How do we know if we have been influenced by the negativity, the criticism, the fault finding, the condemnation of the world? Well, we tend to feel that way about ourselves, and we end up, you know, transmitting that on to others. And so God is just kind of cleaning this up today. So if that's something you feel like you need, just lift your hands to heaven right now. We'll start off with prayer. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that Your word is a sword, and Father, that it pierces soul and spirit, joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Father, I thank You that Your word cleanses us. Yeah, it helps us to know the truth, and the truth sets us free. So Father, we just proclaim freedom today over each other. We proclaim freedom over our own lives and over anyone that we come into contact with. Holy Spirit, where You are, there is freedom. And so we just welcome Your freedom from all chains, from all lies, God, from all condemnation. You are our freedom, Jesus. And we thank You for that. It's in Your name. Amen. So this thing that I heard a few years ago, there's more right with you than wrong with you. I was part of a church that was doing an all-night prayer where everyone worked shifts. They would come in for either a half an hour or an hour and pray for the church. And, you know, we were just seeking God to do something new, something different in the body of Christ. So as I went in for my hour, I think it was an hour shift, the Lord just started giving me some really unique downloads and saying some neat things. And one of the things that the Lord said in that hour was, if all you are hearing is what is wrong with you, and if you're never hearing what is right with you, then you're not listening to the voice of God. Let me say it again. If all you are hearing, and it's kind of like it's perceived as it's coming from God, saying what is wrong with you and what you need to clean up with your life and what you did wrong and what you said wrong, you know, if that's all that you're aware of and you're never hearing the Father saying, I love you, you're mine, I affirm you, I bless you. If you're never hearing that, then you're not hearing the voice of God, because God to his own son, Jesus, said these words, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God spoke identity over Jesus, his son. This is my son. He spoke love over him. He's my beloved son. I love him and I'm well pleased with him. So God affirmed, you know, Jesus as he was beginning his ministry and walking with the Father. And this is the voice of the Father, okay? He gives us identity. He tells us that he loves us and he affirms us when we are doing what he's called us to do. So we need to be hearing more and more of the Lord's voice, okay? Less of the condemning voice, less of the fault-finding voice. Because I want you to know, the God of this world, This is how he works. I mean, he's an accuser is what he's called in the book of Revelation. He accuses people of wrong and he exposes, humiliates people. I mean, we see this in the news media all the time. They are just addicted to exposing people in their weakness. Whereas God's mercy is, no, I cover that. You know, God's love, he doesn't humiliate and expose people. You know, that's not his standard. The enemy also, he's critical, hypercritical. He's a fault finder. He points the finger. Look at this verse in Isaiah chapter 58. And the reason I point out a lot about the enemy and how he works is because the New Testament says we are not to be ignorant of his devices. We're not supposed to be ignorant of the way that the enemy works. And so we will expose him. Even the Bible says that. Expose the works of darkness. Amen. If anyone's going to be exposed, it's going to be the way that the enemy works. This is found in Isaiah chapter 58. It's talking about fasting and fasting that pleases God. You know, it's not just going without food. It's actually turning away from what is wicked and what is evil. If you read this whole chapter, it just kind of gives you the right position of heart. This is verse 9. It says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, just this heavy yoke, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. I don't know if you can close your eyes where you are right now and just see someone with their finger pointing at you. You know, that means fault finding. It's like, this is where you're wrong. This is what you did wrong. And it says that is wickedness. You know, those kind of words, finger pointing and judging, that's wickedness to God. And especially if that's how you see your Father in heaven, then I'm really grateful today that what God is doing is he is taking off dirty lenses. Like, and if you want to just take your hands, like you're removing dirty lenses from your face, the fault-finding lenses, the condemning lenses, the accusing and critical lenses, we're taking those off. We're going to crush those under our feet, and we're going to put on the lenses through which our Father sees us, and how we see him and how we see each other. So he's giving us new lenses. Once again, I got away from my notes. I need to see where I am. Oh. So we're going to look at a lot of scripture about how the Father sees us. The Bible is just full. We're going to talk about Job. Let's go to Job for a minute. This is just another example. Job. In the first and second chapter, you read that he was righteous before God. And here comes the enemy that, you know, wants to destroy his life to see if he will turn his back on God. And when Job was just totally at his lowest, here came three friends. And I don't know if you've ever read the book of Job, but the majority of the book is this argument between Job and his three friends. What were their names? Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad. Maybe not necessarily in that order. Yeah. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And so Job has these three friends that they keep on telling him where he's wrong. Okay. And I mean, they offered no comfort to Job. All they did was point the finger at him. And I read that and I go, Job, you need to find some new friends, okay? If you're around people that, you know, are just constantly making you feel bad about yourself. Yeah. Finally, this fourth young man came and set everyone straight. And we need more people to be like the young man that came and represented God well and spoke well for the Lord. So anyway, all right. If you feel like Job, yeah, be sure you're around people. They're going to speak life into you, okay? Not act like the world is acting, all right? So how does the Father see us? I'm just going to run through a checklist of verses that I absolutely love. I think it's so important to be grounded in what the Word of God does say about us. And the Word of God does say plenty that lets us know how the Father sees us. This is a verse from 1 John chapter 5. And is it verse 13? Let me scroll down here, please, for a minute. All right. So John writes, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." And the Bible also says in Romans 8 that the Spirit, Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So it is the Father's desire that all of his children know that we have eternal life with no doubts, no question, that the Spirit bears witness with us. Because I don't believe that John would have written this about that you may continue to believe if there wasn't something that came against the believer that made them doubt at some point in time. And I can remember years ago in church, a Sunday school class, and one of my friends said, "Well, I think we can hope we have eternal life, but we can never really know for sure." And the pastor, in his wisdom, pointed her to this verse in 1 John 5, it's verse 13, where it says that we may know that we have eternal life. And God wants us so confident and sure. And, you know, people can be saved at a young age or at one point in their life, and then maybe because they're not raised up in the faith confidently and strong, or maybe they go back into old worldly patterns, one of the ways that the enemy works is to make them doubt their salvation. I can remember the testimony of Shonda Pierce, a Christian comedian, said that she was saved 437 times because in their faith, every time they sinned, they had to get saved again. And that's bad doctrine, okay? God wants us to know that when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, our sins were cleansed. We were washed in his blood. We became part of the family of God. And God wants us to know that we have eternal life. So first and foremost, God wants you to know you're his child if you are in Christ Jesus. And even, you know, talking to people who have fallen away from the Lord, you know, I believe we have to encourage them. you know, that when they came to the Lord and placed their faith in Jesus, that was real. Okay. The Lord saw that, and that was genuine faith. We need to speak that over people so that they can be restored. It's that grace and the love of God that's going to pull them back into right fellowship with Him. Romans 8:37, it says that we are more than conquerors. Jesus fought the ultimate fight. He was victorious over death, hell, the grave, the enemy. And then He hands us His victory and says, here, I've made you a conqueror and a victor too. So God sees us as being victorious. God sees us as being righteous and new creations. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's verses 17 and verse 21. Love these. These are like core foundational scriptures for me. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are made new. So how does God see you? Does He see you as the old person before you came to Christ, or does He see you as the new creation that has been made after the image of Jesus, washed in His blood and cleansed? I propose to you that God sees you as righteous. He sees you as the new creation. He sees you as Christ. It's like God has a filter, and when He looks at us, He sees us through the blood of His Son and what the finished work of Jesus is on the cross. Verse 21, it says, He made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, this verse actually says that Jesus didn't just take our sin, He became our sin on the cross. That's why they say, you know, God had to turn away from Him for a brief moment. Jesus became our sin so that we could become what He was, which was sinless and righteous before God. So this is the great exchange at salvation. When you placed your faith in Jesus, when you came to the cross, you received what He was and what He is. I received His righteousness. You received it. And He became our sin. Yeah, that'll mess you up real good in the best kind of way. So it takes a lot of faith to believe that this is actually how God sees us. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. As I said, we base our faith on what the Word of God does say, not what it doesn't say. I got to lead communion Sunday at church for the middle schoolers. And there was something in the lesson about identity. And as I said, this righteousness is such a core part of identity. I want to turn you to 1 Peter. Did I write this one down? Chapter 4, verse 18, where it says, if the righteous is scarcely saved or barely saved, then what will be the end for the ungodly and the sinner? Okay, so Peter is making a distinction between three kinds of people: the righteous, the sinner, and the ungodly. It's interesting, when I look this up, there's more verses that have these three distinctions in the same sentence. Let's start with the sinner. The sinner is the pre-Christian. They have not yet surrendered to Jesus Christ. They're just lost. Maybe they haven't heard the gospel. Maybe they are in the process of coming into faith, but they haven't yet had their sins washed away. They're still in sin. Then there's the ungodly. These are the ones who know what is right, but they have decided they will not follow God. They will oppose all that is good and holy. And I mean, we see even that increasing in the world. And then there's the righteous. These are the ones who have been cleansed and saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. So three kinds of people: righteous, sinner, and ungodly. Where are you? Which one are you? I don't know about you, but I'm in the righteous category. And if you're in Christ Jesus, so are you. You are no longer a sinner. You are not ungodly. The light of God dwells in you. You are righteous. And I mean, if we say this over ourselves, if we declare over ourselves that we are righteous, all we're doing is agreeing with the Word of God. Okay, that's not being presumptuous or proud before the Father. I'm just saying, this is what Jesus did on the cross for me. This is the finished work on the cross, so that I became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross and taking my sin, becoming my sin, so that I could become your righteousness. Thank you. Thank you for that, God. You just need to put on the new man sometimes. It's created in righteousness and holiness. Put it on. Yeah, put that on you. That looks good on you. Okay. Oh, my. Okay, I was hearing something as I was doing the radio today about being crushed under the weight. And as I prayed into it, I was thinking about if you think that the Father sees you any differently than he sees Jesus, that's a real heavy weight to bear. And that cross is heavy, and that's not something that we were meant to carry. Jesus carried that heaviness for us. He carried that heavy yoke of bondage, the cross, for us. He carried the curse. He carried all of that. And so that's not something we're meant to be crushed under the weight of. Jesus himself was crushed under the weight of it. If you remember, they had to call a man from the crowd, Simon of Cyrene, to carry the cross for him. So you weren't meant to bear that heavy cross that God laid on his son. You were meant to bear the lightness of the load, the freedom. And we're going to talk about, let's go ahead and talk about freedom. So not only does God see us as the new creation, not only does he see us as righteous, he sees us as free. I mean, the chains, the things that would try to bind us and hold us enslaved. God says, what are you doing hanging on to those things? I freed you from that. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Galatians 5:1, it says, do not, you know, surrender or be submitted again to a yoke of bondage. You have been set free. So God sees us as free. And I ran across this in Luke chapter 4 a year or two ago. Ha! Let me pull that up. Don't you love computer technology? Thankful for it. Thankful for it. Jesus was coming into his ministry, and he started with a proclamation. And it was given through the prophet Isaiah 600 years before. And so Jesus was announcing his ministry and what he was set to do. This is Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And so this phrase where it says to proclaim liberty to the captives, I thought, okay, imagine yourself in a cell or in a cage. You might feel like the door is locked or shackles, you know, on the arms or the feet. How do you get them free? And it basically says, proclaim freedom to them. I was like, Lord, this is too easy. This is too easy. You simply tell people, you're free from that. You proclaim freedom and liberty to people in the places that they're bound. Say, Jesus freed you from that. You don't have to wear that chain. You don't have to wear that heavy ball and chain or stay in that prison cell. I will just simply tell you, Jesus freed you. And guess what? The door unlocks and you get to walk out. So, I mean, this is just too easy. Proclaim freedom. Jesus said you are free. And he said, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. As he proclaims the truth over our life, we just get to lay aside all those heavy chains and weights and walk out of that prison, walk out of that captivity. Okay? It can't hold us anymore. And so God sees us as being free. Okay? Isn't the word of God good? I'll tell you. Do I want to go here? Okay, just one from my past, my upbringing. I, you know, parents make mistakes. They say things they shouldn't say. But one of the things that was said to me was about being wrong and being the problem. And so I carried a weight. You know, by the way, there is this song. I'm going to interrupt here. by Cody Carnes. And I think it's called Run to the Father, where it says, I carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear you saying to let it all go. I lay it all down. I see it now that I need you. I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again. And you know what? As often as we feel like these things just kind of are heavy on us, or maybe we feel like the Father is pointing the finger at us, condemning us, accusing us. It's coming from the enemy. It's not coming from the Father. But we can always run to the Father and fall into the arms of love and grace and get these heavy weights and burdens broken off of us. You know, as often as you need it, you can run again and again and again and again. So anyway, this thing that I carried, I just had to start speaking the opposite. At some point in my life, I was realizing that the enemy was still trying to stretch those word curses over me. And so I had to speak out loud. I am not the problem. I am not wrong. God has made me righteous. And the Lord even took me to the verse of scripture where Jesus said, you know, all power and authority has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations. And it's like, he's actually made me part of the solution. I mean, he's told me to go. So therefore, I'm not part of the problem. I'm part of the solution, because he has given me the mandate to go, and he's done that for you too. So we'll wrap up with these two verses talking about how the Father sees us. We're all part of the solution. This is Colossians 1:12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and the light. You're qualified. The Word of God says that you are qualified to be one of the inheritors of everything that Jesus inherited. Okay? He has qualified you to go. He has qualified you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is similar to it. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. So, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you've gone to seminary or the school of the Holy Spirit. He has made you sufficient to be a minister of the new covenant. He has made you qualified and sufficient to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with authority and with power. So this is how the Father sees us. So any dirty lens where you feel like there is condemnation or guilt, or like the Father is dissatisfied with you or not pleased with you, or he's finding fault with you, pointing the finger at you, blaming, you know, that's not from God. That's not the voice of God. And those lenses are broken now in the name of Jesus. We are free from those things, and we are filled up with the truth of God's word and how he sees us. There's another verse of scripture in one of the books of Peter that says that we are without blame. We're holy before him in love. And then I believe it's verse 24 of Jude, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the throne of his glory with exceeding joy. Let's just close with this. You know, when this life is over, and we come and stand before God, is he going to be pointing the finger at us then? Is he going to be, you know, just ripping us up for everything that we've done wrong? Or is he going to say, welcome home? You know, you are faultless. You are blameless. You are holy before my throne because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you received my son, therefore I receive you. I mean, so that we've got a good day to look forward to. Okay. We've already passed, scripture says, from that judgment and condemnation through Jesus Christ. Okay. So your Father loves you today. You are free. You are righteous. You're holy. You're a new creation. You're victorious. Yeah. You're loved. Okay. Until next time, have a great day.